Welcome to The Shrinking Man Project. The Shrinking Man Project, Special Episode 1, Exercise and Creativity. All right, welcome to The Shrinking Man Project. My name is Doc Coleman, I'm your host, and this week we are going to review a bit of philosophy that we attempted to record at Balticon, but due to technical failures, I had an ID10T error, and I was the idiot. I didn't change my batteries out, and we lost most of the audio, but fortunately, through the miracle of Skype and thunderstorms holding off just a little bit longer, we have with us Val Griswold Ford and T. Morris.
Hey there.
And we're going to take some time to revisit our philosophy section, talking about exercise and creativity. Now, we had some good discussion back at Balticon because we had some folks in the audience participating, but we're going to try to recapture a little bit of that. One of the things that I said in the course of things that, looking at my own experience, I started my weight loss program in December 2009. And in February of 2010, I started the Nifty Tech blog, my tech blog. In July of 2010, I started writing short stories for the Every Photo Tells podcast. And, of course, in December of 2010, I started the Shrinking Man Project. I also started hanging out with folks over at Galley Table and doing their podcast my regular regimen. So I found that as I have lost weight and gotten out and gotten with my exercise program and become more healthy, I've also become more active in my creative endeavors. And somehow I always manage to hang right at the edge of doing too much. So I know that's my experience. Val and T, do you want to chip in with some of your own?
Well, I have been trying to lose weight and get more active for, a while. I was very active in college and high school. I was a four-season athlete. And then I got sick. I have Crohn's disease, which not only had me packing on the pounds, but made it very hard for me to exercise for a while. So I'm getting back into it. I just finished my first 5K race this past weekend.
Bravo.
Very excited about it. I walked a good deal of it, but I finished, and that was the big thing.
That's the important thing, is that you finish, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did finish. There are pictures of me running across the finish line, so I'm already signed up for my next one. And I have lost approximately 25 pounds in the last 2 years, just watching what I eat and getting back into the exercise.
For myself, I was pushing about 190, which is heavy for me. I was the smallest person on the panel, so but 190 was still very, very heavy for me. And I went on Metafast. But the other thing I did, apart from changing the way I eat, was also, I not only was on Metafast for a while, but I also was cross-training. I was running and swimming. And it was very easy for me to exercise because I was close to a gym, and also I was freelancing. I was a freelance contractor. And that made things very easy for me until I started working full-time. When I got my full-time job, I lost a lot of that exercise time until I discovered there were all these trails around where I worked, and we had a fully working locker room complete with showers. So I said, okay, well, I have no excuse. So I was going out, and I was still running. Not swimming, but I was still running. And the other thing that changed was I took myself off of Metafast because I said, okay, I've lost the weight that I want to lose. I'd lost, in 1 year, I'd lost a total of over 30 pounds. And I felt fantastic. And creatively, I was just firing off on all cylinders. When I took myself off of Metafast, I was actually hovering around a pretty comfortable weight between 157 and 160. I was very happy with that. And then January of 2010, I suffered a mental and a physical setback. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to necessarily go into details, but it was a traumatic event that basically
you had a major blow to your lifestyle.
I did. Yeah. I mean, we'll just leave it as a tragic event. And I found myself, you know, it was very subtle. It was very subtle. I didn't realize I was even putting on the weight. While I'm not near 190, I am back in the low 180s. And I'm not real happy about that. Now, there are two things you can do that I've discovered is that you can either complain about it, which I have done my fair share of. And it's part hubris. It's also part frustration because I'm basically back where I started again. And what I'm determined to do this time around differently is that I do not want to go on Metafast. Not necessarily for cost issues, but because Metafast, at least for me, Metafast was a great device. And I will probably get back onto Metafast if everything else fails. But the problem I have with Metafast is that it's pre-processed food. It's not real food. And
it's one of those programs where they do all the cooking for you and you just buy their food?
Not all the cooking. It's all instant food. Shakes, bars, things like that. And that's fine. That's fine to an extent. But I know that I can do this on regular food. Part of what I have to do is I have to make the time to get back into the swing of things. For example, the reason why I can only do an hour tonight of recording is because I have to exercise tonight. I have to. And because I am now off deadline, I have no excuse. I have to exercise. But that's my new challenge. My new challenge is that I want to get back to that 155, 160 range. And I want to do it using real food. And I want to do it. For me, Metafast was twofold. It not only had me seriously look at how I was eating, which wasn't well, but it also had me look at exercise routines. And it also had me look at intake of water, you know, flushing out the system. And I've been kind of working on an uphill battle because it's hard serving two masters of a full-time job and a writing career. And I had to basically furlough my exercise. Now I'm getting back into it, and that's my plan.
You've had one advantage that your writing career is your only extracurricular career. I've got three. Because I've got a blog, a podcast, and I'm trying to write.
No, because that's a misnomer, and Val can chime in on this as well. Once upon a time, you could be a full time writer and do nothing but write. That was once upon a time.
Well,
that was probably back. That was before the days of blogging, before the days of podcasts, before the days of seriously the internet. And now, part of the writer's career is blogging. Part of the writer's career is podcasting. Part of the writer's career is marketing, and part of the writer's career is if I'm not blogging for myself, I'm blogging for other people. In fact, something else I have to do tonight is I have to finish a blog interview that I'm doing with Airship Ambassador. And then once I'm done with that, I have another blog interview. This is after I finished a blog interview just last night. So
okay, but the point I'm making is that you're at least doing all these things as part of one career while I'm blogging tech, and then I'm doing podcasts about weight loss, and then I'm also trying to actually write fiction. It's not like I'm doing all of these things as part of one single project. I've got three divergent projects which are fighting for my time when I'm not at my day job earning a wage that puts food on the table and keeps a roof on the head, over my head.
And that is really the crux of it is you know, all these things are demanding of time, and that includes exercise. And that's
you've got friends and family and loved ones who also want your time as well. And need to make time for them before you go mad.
And you have to make time for yourself, too. And that's something that I had a huge problem with because I'm like you guys. I have a day job. I have my second career as a novelist. I'm an editor for Dragon Moon Press, so I do some editing, and up until about a month ago, I was a part-time student getting my degree, and, you know, I have a family just like everyone else, so you really, a lot of it comes down to scheduling, and what I discovered working, I'm working with a special nutritionist, because with the Crohn's, and for folks who don't know what Crohn's is, basically, The easy version is my body thinks my gastrointestinal system is a transplant and is trying to reject it. But there are days when all I can do is stick to the brat diet, which is bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast. And that is the only thing that will go down. You notice all of those are carbs.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I can see why that tends to make you put weight on.
Not only that, a lot of the treatments for Crohn's involve steroids.
Which also make you bulk up.
Make you bulk up. So, yeah. So I'm working with a special nutritionist because Crohn's patients have a lot of special issues. There are a lot of things I can't eat. There are some things I can eat some days and not others. But the big thing that she told me was you have to make time for yourself. And you have to make yourself a priority, because if you're not going to do that, then no one else is going to do it for you, because everybody's going to be asking for your time. And if you don't make that commitment to do it yourself, you know, to put yourself first, then you're not going to find the time anywhere, because none of us have enough time anymore. And so I really took that to heart. I also took to heart something that you talked about on the podcast earlier, Doc, and that was taking a week off.
Right.
Exercising 5 weeks and then taking the 6th week as a rest week.
That's actually something I got from Sandra Wickham.
Yeah.
That was actually work out for 6 weeks and take the 7th week off and then repeat the cycle.
Yeah. I'm doing it in 6 week cycles.
Mm-hmm.
But
you've got to tailor it to you because you have to deal with you.
So this week was my off week, and it happened to coincide with the end of the race, which was awesome because I was dead. But I've gone ahead and just started walking in the morning. Now, I also don't have to be into work until noon, and I only work 4 days a week. So mm-hmm. I have Thursdays when I can swim, and the rest of the week I go for runs in the morning. And I mean, I'm just starting off. I don't normally do 5K. I'm about up to about a mile doing just straight running. But I'm getting there. And, you know, every little bit that I do is a little bit more than I did the day before.
Yeah.
And I found that when I do exercise in the morning, when I do it first thing, and I am not a morning person by any stretch of the imagination, but when I do it first thing in the morning, it sets the tone for the entire day. It gets me out there. And even if I'm not feeling like running, just walking in my running shoes, I start to run. You know, it really puts me into where I want to go. That sets the tone for the entire day. If I run in the morning, I don't want to eat like a greasy cheeseburger or something like that for lunch or dinner. I want to go.
It feels wrong. It feels so wrong.
Yeah.
It really does. And the other thing I found that has worked really well for me is I got into bento boxes. And
okay.
If you don't know what a bento box is, it's basically a Japanese lunch box. You see a lot of them with a lot of fried foods in it, but the theory on bento is that you're supposed to have at least 5 colors. In your box every day. So, you know, your box should look like a rainbow. It should look like a beautiful picture. And I don't have time to do...
So this is sort of Japanese food groups is by color instead of by source?
Pretty much.
Okay.
If you do the more traditional boxes, because we got my dad a couple of bento cookbooks, because they're actually really good for diabetics, because they're all about portion size, and they're all about including fresh foods and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, you're supposed to have a red, an orange, a yellow, a green, you know, a blue.
My wife started looking into doing bento boxes for lunches because that was a way for her to try to control her portion sizes. Now, she's a gastric bypass patient, so she has different controls on her diet. But one thing that I wanted to bring up is we kind of skipped over it earlier. A recurring theme on the Shrinking Man Project has always been that you've got to tailor your solution to yourself. And with the three of us here, it's kind of interesting that both of you have talked about having rather athletic backgrounds. And I am definitely, I've never really been an athletic person. My old joke was that I have two running speeds. I have from and to. And from was faster than two. Growing up, I was never much of one for exercising. But now that I've gotten myself into an exercise program, it's like I've lost over 130 pounds, but I still feel like I'm too heavy to run. I go out and I walk, and I'll admit, I power walk. And I get to that point where the body wants, or the feet start to want to run, but if I actually kick myself over into a run, then the body says, no, we're not up with all this jiggling and bouncing and stuff.
It took me a long time to get back into running. Like I said, when I was in high school, I was literally a four-season athlete, you know. Season one would stop, and the next day season two would kick in. And so, I mean, I went into college weighing 135 pounds, and it was all muscle. And then I went to college, and I discovered socializing.
Yep. And beer.
And beer, yeah.
And cheap food. Yes, go to college, find out about cheap food that's bad for you.
We didn't have that. I lived in the dorms, and we lucked out because UConn had some really good chefs in our lunch hall, and they were really good to us. And the problem was, is I lived in an all-girls dorm, and our chef was a pastry chef.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, he liked to spoil us. But I still ran for a while. You know, I would go running. The problem was, is I was carrying a 3.8 GPA. I was working two jobs and having a social life.
So you were an overachiever even back then.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I'm an eldest child. Can you tell?
Mm. Yeah.
My problem in college was $5 large pizzas.
And mine was beer at the newspaper.
Mm.
And see, my biggest issue was that I thought I was eating healthy when I wasn't. And that tends to trip up a lot of people. I mean, I was the guy that basically got, you know, I would get a small plate of greens, and then I would load up my salad if I ever went to the... I wouldn't make a salad, I'd make a mountain. And it would be everything but the roughage. And then, of course, the topping of this giant mountain, it would then become a volcano because I would then literally slather it in dressing.
Yeah, I kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
I would love salad bars, and I remember that time in my life. It wasn't a good salad bar unless they had pepperoni on the salad bar.
But yeah, exactly.
Lots of cheese.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about me and athletics, I was the band geek. I was the band geek, and I was the forensics geek. And I've struggled with my weight all my life. All my life, I've struggled with my weight. I really didn't become athletic until after I got out of college. Weightlifting, I mean, we were talking earlier about Sandra Wickham.
I wouldn't diss the band geekness that much. I mean, let's give props to the band kids who go out there, wear wool uniforms in 100-degree temperatures, and still march in step and play instruments. That takes a certain kind of athleticism.
Yeah, no, that does.
It does take athleticism, but it is not... The reason why I don't consider that athletic is because the way I define athletics is... it's not as aerobic as it could be. I mean, yes, are times that we've had to hustle across those field lines. I admit that, but the way I define it, I felt like most of the time when I was in the marching band, I was sweating, but I was standing still. So there's that. But the thing was that what I discovered, what works for me is if I can always tell if I don't exercise, if I do not exercise in my life on a regular basis, first thing that I notice is my temper is really, really hair trigger. I will go off. When I was studying Taekwondo, and this was in my 30s, when I started studying Taekwondo, I fell in love with that. And that's actually what got me back into running. And then I started getting into running and swimming. I don't have the time to dedicate to martial arts, sadly. I haven't given up on it. I know that when I become a full-time writer, I know that one of the first things I'm going to do is look at my day and go, okay, what regimen can I work into this? And one of the first things I'd like to look into is the martial arts. But exercise of any kind always keeps my temper in control. One of the things I wanted to touch on was you were talking earlier, Doc, about how your body is like, oh no, we're not ready for the jiggling. We're not ready for the running just yet. The thing I tell people is you got to be patient with yourself. And what I mean by that is I remember when I first started swimming. When I first started swimming, I thought to myself, you know, I'm a pretty good swimmer. I'm going to do 500 yards. Piece of cake. You know, it's 10 laps. I can do 10 laps. On lap 2, I said, I am quitting after lap 3. I mean, I was done after that third lap. Within the year, though, I just stuck with it. First 2 weeks, I stayed at 150 yards. Second 2 weeks, I went up to 300 yards. And then I just kept doubling up and doubling up. But before the year was out, I was going into the pool and I was averaging 1,100 yards. I never swam like that, even in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am doing 1,100 yards. I miss swimming. I found out there's actually a gym close by, and I've got to make sure I make time to go into that gym and say, okay, what are your hours and what are your rates just for the pool? Because I know that that's the kind of person I am. I mean, you know, we were talking about, you know, everybody's plan is different. Everybody's approach is different. Earlier mentioned Sandra Wickham. I think the world of her. I think very highly of her. She obviously knows what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm. And we could always tell when you're doing good with your exercise program because you tweet about how much you hate her.
Yes.
Yep. But go ahead, Dee, sorry.
I was just going to say, but my one thing that I probably will not be going back to is the weightlifting. I know Sandra has told me, no, you burn more calories. You burn more calories. Honestly, I feel like what I need is weightlifting is great, but it's very anaerobic. Mm-hmm. And what I need is aerobics. I need something that is burning. I'm turning and burning, whether it's running, swimming, or martial arts. It's got to be something where I am working up a sweat. And whenever I would do Sandra's workouts, yes, they challenged me. Yes, they pushed me. And yes, I could feel myself bulking up. I'm not ready to bulk up yet. I got to burn fat first. Once I burn fat, then I'll go to Sandra's plan. But you were going to say something, Val, about the tweets.
Well, no, actually about Sandra. Sandra actually sent me a copy of her. I had asked her to do a weightlifting for absolute newbies because that would be me. I don't do a lot of weightlifting, and she came out with just an absolutely wonderful ebook that I definitely purchased a copy of, and it was amazing, and I highly recommend it for anyone who's worried about trying, especially where, you know, I have a lot of issues. You know, I've got the Crohn's, I've got fibromyalgia. I can't do everything, and like you were saying, T, you have to start slow, and you have to be honest with yourself. Remember that you're not doing this to compete against anybody. You're doing this to make yourself feel better. And if getting out and walking for 10 minutes is 10 minutes more than you did yesterday,
right,
then that is awesome. I mean, I literally started out and I would walk for 5 minutes. I'd run for 2 minutes. I'd walk for another 5 minutes and then I'd run for another 2 minutes. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go around my block. That's all I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I did it. And I did it with 2 shot knees. And when I finished the race this weekend, I was not wearing knee braces on either knee and did not have an issue.
Bravo.
So, yeah, I'm real happy about that. Thanks. So, like I said, I've already signed up for my next race, and I am determined that I'm going to run more of that one. I'm so proud of my little sister. She said, I'll run it with you. And she ran the entire damn thing.
Excellent.
And that's one of the things is that I think when people start to exercise, I know that I felt this way in the past, you know, especially when I was weightlifting and things like that. I was expecting to see results right away, and they didn't happen. I'd get frustrated. I go, well, what's the point, you know? And then I'd forget about it. But what I noticed was that if I focused more on how I felt as opposed to, well, what am I going to look like or how am I going to look when I'm such and such and so and so, when I focused more on just the task, I thought to myself, you know, that's what I need to do. And with MetaFast, when I went on the MetaFast plan and when I was exercising on a regular basis, that was when I started to notice results. And the results were... they were small at first. First, I noticed that my pants were getting looser. That was always nice.
Yeah. So you're not going to get Star Trek results where at the end of the hour, everything is magically back to the way it was before.
Right.
You've got to stay with it for a period of time. And sometimes the first thing that you realize is that your clothes aren't fitting properly. Mm-hmm. Or you've run out of notches on your belt.
My nutritionist has actually, I was talking to her, I see her once a month, and she said to me last time, she said, well, you know, did you weigh in today before you came in? I said, no, my battery on my scale is actually dying. And she's like, don't put it in for a while. Let's see how you do when you're, because I am one of those people that I tend to focus on every single pound.
Yeah.
I will get very, very anal, for lack of a better term, of everything that's going in my mouth and everything that I'm doing, every little variance in weight. And she said, don't put it in for a while. So I haven't, but I pulled on a pair of jeans that I wore at Balticon and noticed they were getting a little loose, turned and they fell off of me today. So I'm thinking I need a belt.
For me, the big motivator now is how I looked at my heaviest. And I know this photograph is online, and it's on my website. But it was the picture taken of me at Dragon Con in 2005, I believe. Yeah, 2005. And then the picture of me taken at Balticon in 2007.
Yeah, T, if you will send me links to that sometime later, I will include those pictures in with the show notes of this episode when it goes up.
My thought is that's where I want to go back to. That's the goal for me. The goal for me now is I got to get back to looking the way I look in that photograph. And that's one of my motivations. That's one of my motivations right there.
Yeah, and we've talked about looking at how the scale is just a tool. But sometimes you've got to get away from it, and you start looking at other things. Like last year at Balticon, I would have I would end up blowing off panels I wanted to attend because I'd been running around so much I was just too tired to make the trip across the hotel to get to the room where the panel was. And I'd end up sitting down with somebody else and talking just right where I was. And this year, I went to everything. Well, I couldn't go to everything because of schedule conflicts, but if I had to run back to my room to get something, I did. And I didn't take the elevators because the elevators were slow compared to the speed I could make on the stairs. And after a full day of running around the con, then even though I was sick and starting to feel it, I went to the Time Traveler's Ball and got out and danced and never felt tired from dancing. I felt warm and sweaty, but I never got tired. I never had to sit down and rest from that. And that was just amazing. And it's like, you don't realize the kind of stamina that you have until you do something like that where you realize you've put it to the test and you've met the test. And we were talking about starting an exercise and how you need to come into it gradually. One of the things that we brought up in the actual live program was that sometimes you go out and you've got a goal in mind and you go try it, and right off the bat you go out and you do your 45 minutes of exercise, or you run as far as you want to run, and you start hitting those end targets right away. You don't realize it because you're pushing yourself enough to hit those goals, but you're pushing yourself too hard. If you've been away from exercise for a long time, then even if it feels easy, you need to start off small and go ahead and do a week of walking for so much time and see how far you can get in that time, and then start ramping things up, because you don't want to find out that you can push yourself really hard but then burn yourself out because you go at your exercise too fast.
You also want to make sure it's something you love. I love to swim. I love to run. And I am not really a big walker. Now, you look at Nathan Lowell, who walks 2 miles every day. And, that's how he clears his mind. And that's how he, gets his exercise. And my father loves Tai Chi. Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to learn Tai Chi when I get to the point where I want to start getting myself in shape, when I feel like I'm close to I'm down far enough to start worrying less about losing the weight and more about getting my body into better shape. I want to find a Tai Chi class that I can fit into my schedule, because that's a martial art that's designed around fitness.
Yeah, I would love to do Tai Chi, but I'm falling into the same category of it's not at a time I can do it. And we mentioned this at the live panel too, where if you have Tai Chi is one of those wonderful ones. If you have a disability, or you have a not disability, but something like Crohn's or diabetes, right, which my father has, it's wonderful for that because it's low impact, but at the end, it's low impact as far as your joints go, but let me tell you, at the end of a 45-minute session, you will be sweating.
Not only that, you're going to be hurting the next day. I was studying Taekwondo, and I was invited to take a Tai Chi class. And I was getting cocky because I was watching the Tai Chi class, and I thought to myself, I could do that. And I went down there, and it turns out I could do that. But the next day, Nobody touched me. I was just like, don't anybody even look at me.
Yeah.
I hurt. And it's a different kind of martial art. And it's not only a terrific low impact martial art or soft martial art. It's just very calming. It's a very calming thing to do. And again, going back to what I heard Val's reaction to, when I go and exercise, I feel it in my temper first. And I also know that part of my hair trigger tempers is coming from the fact that I don't like the way I'm looking right now. But I also have to be patient with myself, and I have to stick with what we're doing. I mean, you know, it's very easy to just say, yeah, we're going to eat out. And not only is that expensive, but also it's also you lose track of what you're eating and how you're eating.
Unless you really plan for it and you know the restaurants and the foods that are safe. Right.
And that's just
not only that, the first thing you do is say, box half of it up.
Right.
That is the best trick my nutritionist taught me.
Yep. Plate half and box half.
But when you order it, say, and as soon as it's ready, can you put half of it in a doggy bag for me? Because you don't miss it.
Yeah, but my problem is that I try to stick with the plan that I picked up with MetaFast, which was you had these small meals during the day, and then you had your big meal at night, but it was a lean and green meal, so basically it was a salad. And you really can't box up a salad because it does not keep for the next day. That is a problem that I have ingrained that I've never been able to get that I'm slowly starting to get past, which is I'm enjoying the salad, but you know what? I'm full, so I'm stopping here. But you're right. The portions are out of control. Portions are out of control when you go out to eat. But it's one of those things where I keep telling myself, you know, I've done this before. I'm going to do it again. I just have to be. And again, and even in the MetaFast guide, this was a real telling thing, is that it tells you two things. One, they even say themselves, this is a lifestyle change. This is not a diet that you go on and go off. This is a lifestyle change. And the way I looked at it was that I wasn't going to be condemned to this food for the rest of my life. I had to adjust the way I was living. The second thing was they said, you're going to fall off this wagon. You just got to get back on and understand that it's not going to be as easy once you get back on it again. I mean, that's what I do in my tweets.
Journey, it's not a destination.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that in my tweet. When I get back from running, I have not had my times when I was at my peak, I was getting in times between, I was clocking in 5K at anywhere from 29 minutes, 31 minutes. Now it's more like 36 and 37 minutes. But as I say in my tweets, this is not my best run, but it's better than no run at all.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it
that's
took
always
us an
true.
Hour and 5 minutes to finish the 5K, which I think for our first 5K is not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
That sounds good to me. Crap, I had something that was like real pithy and then now I've lost it. Talking about food, it's good to have... that's what it was. I want to go back to exercise. My goals for picking an exercise is that it needs to be something accessible so that it's easy to do. Ideally, something that needs very little equipment or doesn't need special facilities. Which is why I go out walking a lot, because generally all I need are decent shoes and someplace to go. It needs to be something that you don't hate doing. You know, you don't necessarily have to love it with a passion, although it helps if you do love it with a passion. But you've got to be able to just say, okay, I'm going to go do it and get it done.
If you like it and it's easy, it's a lot easier. It's a lot harder to talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
And it's very easy when you miss it, you want to get back into it again. I love running at work because it not only clears my head as a writer, but it clears my head for my day job. Mm-hmm. And then I begin to think, okay, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. But I miss swimming. I miss swimming. Like this afternoon, I went to our community pool with Sonic Boom and Pip. And we met the neighbors, and it was great. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was just nice being able to relax in the pool. But I could feel, just being in the water, I could just feel the urge to strap on my goggles and then just start swimming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just start doing the laps. And then I started wondering, well, I wonder if they have like early hours. And it's like, well, yeah, but the swim team comes in. And so I realized, I want to do this. I want to do it. And that's the thing. You got to find something that you want to do. You don't feel like your exercise routine shouldn't be, well, this is something I need to do. This is something I want to do. Tonight, for example, Pip and I are picking it up again, and we're going to start doing the Zumba.
Yeah. That was the next thing I was going to bring up. Yeah. You need to have fun activities that you can do that you can actually, like dancing is a great thing. And Zumba, of course, is good because it's based off of dancing.
Although it's based off of all kinds of dancing.
In fact, it focuses more on the exercise. But if you think about the, quote, young, hot 20-somethings, unquote, who go out and they always look thin and in shape, these are kids that will... they may eat lousy during the day, but they do things like they go out dancing all night, every night. And, they may put horrible numbers of calories into their bodies, but they also work it off.
Right.
And, they do it because dancing is fun, not because it's exercise. And having fun activities that you can tap into, that you can swap out other exercises for, that's great.
And it is. It's something that I've been wanting to get back into this. Pip's been wanting to get back into this. We're determined to hit the goal weights. And, the goal weight, I mean, I have a very specific goal weight that I want to hit. I think Pip just wants to get her weight under control. I can't speak for Pip, but I know that she's told me. And I've kind of given her almost an informal time limit. I probably need to reinforce it. But we're actually talking about heading out to Disney World 2012 with Sonic Boom. And I said to her, I said, they got some pretty crazy rides out there. Would you ride these rides with me? And she looked at me. She said, the way I feel now, no. But if I hit my goal weight by then, yeah, I'll think about it. And what? That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Now, see, I would look at that not so much as having a deadline, but saying, there is a reward. Mm. There's a reward if you can get into this zone. There's no punishment for not making the zone, but there's a reward if you can get there. I don't like deadlines because I notice that deadlines tend to put a lot of pressure on people, and the pressure actually hurts their efforts. But it's great to say, when I hit this milestone, I will have this reward. That's a great way to motivate you, especially if it's not nailed onto the calendar somewhere.
You're probably right. I'll probably word it that way after we have a chance to really talk about it. But right now, the hard part is just getting us back into the routine, and we have a ways to go. But we also know that there are two things we can do about our weight. We can either complain about it or we can do something about it. And
you can always complain about it, but it won't get better unless you do something about it.
And that's been something that I don't want to necessarily get arrogant about it either. But the one thing that kind of torques me is when, and I mentioned this on the panel, is the people that go to, particularly go to cons, or let's just call a spade, who are writers, and they take pride in the fact that they're part of the big men's club. And they go, why should I care? I don't have the time. There's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going, no,
genetics
there is something.
Genetics made me this way.
Genetics made me this way. That's another good one. Yeah. Yeah. You can't fight genetics. It's like, no, but you can make it your bitch if you wanted to. I know that at least with my own genetics, the big thing is exercise. If I do not exercise, I put on weight. It's as simple as that. For some people, they don't have to exercise and they can keep the weight off. But they're going to react differently to food the way I react differently to food.
All right. Genetics can help you or it can hurt you, but it's still up to you to decide.
Exactly. And like you said,
what person you want to be.
Like you said, the other thing too is everybody is different. That's the other thing. Everybody is different. Mm-hmm. And everybody reacts differently. Whether it's Crohn's disease or just the way your body processes food in general. I come from the generation where I remember when I was struggling with my weight in high school. And part of the plan that I had with this one gym was I got a nutritionist. I got a trainer. And the trainer said to me, okay, so what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to lose weight. And the trainer said to me, carbs. And I went, I beg your pardon? start eating pastas, start eating breads. That's when I focus on carbs, carbs, carbs.
Yep, because at one time that was the way to do it. They were right. That was the low fat to no fat diet. They had you carb up like crazy.
Yeah.
And if your problem was lots of fat in your diet, that would help.
Right.
Because the carbs would make you feel satisfied. That doesn't really work for people who aren't into tons of fatty food.
And what I discovered when I was working with MetaFast is that I am not one for the high carb diets. I'm more for the high protein diet.
Mm-hmm.
I can have sausages. I can have steak. I can have chicken. I can have fish. If I go high protein, low carbs, and I'm exercising, that's the other key there. And I'm exercising, mm-hmm. I'm good.
You can actually lose weight with the right diet.
Right.
But exercising accelerates your results.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Val.
I was going to say, whereas I'm kind of the opposite. I need to make sure I keep a variety of things in my diet. Because if I go too high one way or the other, that's when I start having issues with the Crohn's. So for me, a lot of it is, it doesn't matter so much what I'm eating, if it's, you know, high protein, high carb, you know, high roughage. What it needs to be is it needs to be everything in moderation, and I really need to watch my portion. I get caught up.
We'll just
sit back and watch your portions, baby. How about that? Would that be all right?
Better not let Pip hear you say that.
She's sitting right across from me. She's shaking her head.
remind her that we're more afraid of her than we are of you.
Okay, I will. I'll do that.
I'll go with that. That's close. Val, what you're saying is closer to what I do, because I tend to look at... I err on the side of higher protein, but I tend to try to balance my protein and my carbs. You know, I'm not all the way to one side or the other, because it can be really tough to be able to eat out and do things like that and eliminate carbs, because until you sit down and you think about it, just about everything you eat is a carb or rides on a carb. But I try to get my protein to balance that so that my body gets rid of waste carbs instead of trying to store them.
And the big thing is the thing that gets me about all these diets, and quite frankly, I hate that word, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle change.
The problem is that people have got the wrong definition of diet in their lexicon. A diet is just a way of eating. And if you diet like a 400-pound person, you will be a 400-pound person. If you diet like a 170-pound person, you will be a 170-pound person. A diet is not a short-term thing. A diet is a thing that you do for the rest of your life.
But that's not the way people think when they hear the word diet.
Unfortunately, it's not the way that they think. For a lot of people, diet has become a dirty word, and it's not. And T, you were talking about the big man's club, and I know that one of the reasons that I got as big as I did was because I didn't think about how much I weighed as much as I thought about my health. Mm-hmm. And as long as I was healthy, you know, I said, I may be large, but I'm healthy. I'm out of shape, but I don't have health problems. And one of the things that started to get me was walking in from the far end of the parking lot at work and finding that I was wheezing before I got to the door.
That's when you got a problem.
And it's like, yeah, this is a warning sign.
Yeah.
You know. And the thing is, when I started doing the exercising, I could actually count my walk from car to office and office to car as part of my exercise for the day, because it took that long. It was one of my major milestones that I hit when I realized that I could no longer count that as part of my exercise because I made the trip too fast. I wasn't wheezing and I made the trip too fast. You know, it didn't take me at least 10 minutes, so I couldn't count it as exercise. But at that point, I didn't care because I wasn't walking into the office sweaty and wheezing. So.
Yeah, I'm pleased now that I can run up the stairs at work and not be coming into my office and having people go, "Are you okay?" You know, because I'm going just from running up a flight of stairs.
Yeah. And I know I will feel better once I can fit into my clothes in the morning and not have them feel snug. When they start feeling loose, I'm like, okay, I'm sticking with this plan. Mm-hmm. I still have a ways to go, and actually I need to go to that now. So I'm going to log off. I appreciate coming back on the show, Doc, and thanks for the panel at Balticon.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hope you'll be part of the group next year
when we
go back to Balticon.
I think we should definitely do that again next year. I think we should have where are we now podcast. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's a great idea. So keep that in mind.
Go ahead and pimp your stuff real quick, T, so you can go ahead and sign off.
You bet. Pretty much it's tmorris.com, Ministry of Peculiar Currences.com, and Phoenix Rising, a Ministry of Peculiar Currences novel. It's a whole whopping 2 months old, or actually it will be 2 months old at the end of June. It's available in bookstores everywhere. And we just turned in of Cogs and Corsets, which is going to be the second one. That should be coming out a year from now. We'll just see how it goes. All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Fun, Pip.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye, Pip. Okay. So Tia's gone.
Tia's gone. I still have time, Doc. I'm not going anywhere. Okay. The game is still in is still in rain delay, and I am busy sitting here. So.
Okay. So what were we talking about before we got rid of Tia?
It sounded like we just threw him.
Well, he had to run off, but at least he was running off to exercise.
Yes, he was running off to exercise. I will be exercising, well, sort of exercising this weekend. I have an event to go to.
Yeah, I am still fighting the con crud that I got at Balticon. I started to go to work earlier this week, and it kind of recurred on me. So I ended up going to the doctor yesterday and getting a course of antibiotics, and I wasn't quite feeling good enough to go into work this morning, but by the time I got up, I had a small breakfast, and then I went out to work out, and that made a big difference in my day.
That was one thing I did notice about this Balticon, as opposed to last Balticon, and even StellarCon, which was the last con I did before Balticon. I didn't get sick this time, and I think it was not only because I'd been exercising, but because I was walking around with either a teacup or a water bottle rather than a soda. I have been really trying to get rid of all of the preservatives in my diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a lot of whole foods. I'm doing a lot of, making my own stuff. I'm not up to making my own bread, sadly. There are some things that I just, I just don't have time to do.
Now, last year's Balticon, I got through that without getting con crud, and I was very proud of that. I'm not sure what was different for me this year, whether it was just that I somewhere encountered a more virulent strain of con crud, or whether I did something different. Actually, it might have been the fact that I did tend to go a bit too long between meals. That might have made me vulnerable, but
could be. I mean, I went to Balticon this year saying I am going to be taking care of myself first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made sure I had stuff to drink. I made sure I had breakfast every morning.
Very important.
We talked about this on the panel a little bit where it's the 5-2-1 rule.
Yeah.
5 hours sleep, 2 meals, and a shower every day. And I really there were some things I missed, but I really tried to get at my 8 hours of sleep, and I made sure I had 3 meals a day, and I had snacks with me, and I made sure I had a water bottle and or a teacup with me at all times.
Now, when you were talking about drinking soda at previous Balticons, were you talking about drinking sugared soda, or were you talking about drinking diet soda?
Sugared soda. I can't do diets.
Okay.
I'm allergic to all artificial sweeteners. So that kind of cut that out right there. And I'll be the first to admit, I adore soda. I love soda. Mm-hmm. I love the carbonation. I love the sweetness. I am a total Mountain Dew addict. Or I was.
Yeah, I know a lot of there have been a number of studies that have come down against diet soda. And, well, it's very reasonable to come down against sugared soda, as in high fructose corn syrup soda, because, one, it's too sweet, two, how the high fructose corn syrup goes right through your bloodstream and gets stored so easily. You know, I know there are people who switch from high fructose corn syrup soda to actual sugared sodas and lost weight.
That's what I drink. Because, and the thing that I noticed with the big thing of it is, A, they're not as sweet. Mm-hmm. So you don't drink as much of them.
Right.
And B, they tend to be the all naturals. They tend to be more expensive.
Well, yeah, anything that's more healthy is going to be more expensive. Poison is cheap and affordable and easy to get. So
it really is. And I mean, I have no problems with people doing diet sodas.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do them. NutraSweet gives me a headache. Aspartame gives me an absolute migraine. I'm totally allergic to it.
Okay, you're one of the folk who are allergic to aspartame.
Yeah, I'm allergic to aspartame. I get terrible migraines from it. And Splenda, I'm actually one of that 10% of the population with the weird taste buds where... Mm-hmm. Cilantro tastes like soap, and my problem with Splenda is that I can taste the chlorine in it. So that's my big issue. When I drink something with Splenda in it, I taste chlorine, which is how they make Splenda. They run sugar through chlorinated gas.
Interesting.
And that takes, yeah.
Didn't know that.
And like I said, I'm trying to get all the preservatives out of my diet.
Mm-hmm.
So adding chemicals like that does not make me happy. I do use stevia on occasion, but I use very little of it. I also like agave syrup, but again, mm-hmm. I use very little of it. I use either real sugar, you know, the sugar in the raw.
Right.
Or I use honey. You know, I mean, you can't really improve on either of those, in my opinion. Yeah. Or I use things like, you know, if I'm making iced tea, I'll throw lemon in it. Or I'll muddle some fresh berries and throw them in it, you know, things okay. like that.
See, now preservatives and such never really bothered me. I don't have any known allergies. And I know some people are concerned about chemical additives to their foods. But my father was an organic chemistry professor. So I guess through him, through doing home brewing and finding out about the chemicals that are naturally produced by yeast eating sugar,
mm-hmm.
I don't really fear those chemical additives because, in general, the best foods for you are the most natural foods that you can get,
mm-hmm.
but there's plenty of these polysyllabic chemicals in those natural foods. So as long as you don't have reactions to them, they're not necessarily something to fear just because they're additives.
Yeah, like I said, the reason I'm trying to get them out of my diet is we're thinking that I'm having reactions to them.
Now, you've got a history of allergies of this kind, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I came back from StellarCon with absolutely the worst case of Concord I ever had. And it might have been exacerbated by the fact that I did fly back with it. But by the time I got back from StellarCon and got to my doctor's office, I had a raging sinus infection, a throat infection, and a double ear infection that took me a month to kick.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 rounds of antibiotics. So we think what may have happened, what may have exacerbated that is something in my diet. And so... You know, I've noticed that just simply taking the time, and yes, it's more expensive to eat organic, and yes, it's more expensive to eat whole foods in the short run. But I'm looking at all the doctor's bills I'm saving, and, you know, it's healthier and longer. And my husband has even commented, you know, I shop at a farmer's market a lot. I'm lucky enough to have a natural foods co-op in my town that I'm a part of. And so we get things like local eggs and local cheese and local meat.
Yeah, I look at it this way. The extra expense that it takes for me to eat healthy is an investment in my happiness.
Exactly.
Because if I eat better, I will feel better and I will be happier more.
Yep. And it's been clinically proven. They've done all sorts of studies on it that the healthier you are, the healthier you eat, the less overall health expenses you have. And so that's why a lot of, I work in 401k now, but I used to work for health and insurance. And we worked with a lot of companies that were setting up plans that rewarded their employees for getting healthier because it meant that the company paid less. It is an investment in your future. And where we're looking at a future, especially here in the United States, where private insurance, continues to rise. Medicare is going to be overhauled one way or another because the current system just can't afford to keep running.
Right.
You know, this is all things that people should be looking at. Now, I don't go vegan. You know, I try not to cut anything out of my diet that's a whole food.
But yeah, that gets into a whole long discussion that will probably get me hate mail and will probably increase my listenership humongously. But, you know, we've already got a very long episode, so we don't want to get too much into that. Everyone needs to make their own choices for how they're going to eat better.
And the thing is, any improvement you can make, whether it's I'm going to start packing my lunch for work, or I'm going to start taking 15 minutes out of my lunch break at work and walk. You know, I'm like T. I have a ton of trails around my campus. So if I don't get a chance to walk in the morning before I go into work, I take one of my 15-minute breaks.
Right.
And I go outside and I walk.
Now, my work has a fitness program where if you sign up for it, you can get 3 hours during the work week that you can take to do some sort of exercise.
I wish my company would do that. That would be awesome.
It does have to be in the middle of the day. You can't use it as an excuse to take off early. But somewhere in the next 2 weeks at my work, they are going to open the gym at our new facility. So I will be able to get back into taking a break in the middle of the day and going and working out. You know, you've got to take that hour to do your workout and then shower and then get back to work. But I should be able to get a half hour workout into there.
Oh, yeah. And that's awesome. We do have a gym at our work. I'm not a member of it because I have a Y membership instead, so I can swim because I'm a complete water rat.
All right.
And I absolutely adore swimming. So usually I work a 4-10 shift, which means I work 4 days a week, 10 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have Thursdays off. And Thursdays is usually my my swim day. And I go for an hour and I just swim. And I don't care how fast I'm going. I don't care, you know, if the swim team is practicing right next to me and they're doing, you know, 6 laps for every lap I do.
Right.
It really doesn't matter because I'm in there and I'm doing my workout. And it's awesome. I love it.
We've got a community pool here, and I know that our community pool tends to always have one lane marked off for people who want to swim laps. And I actually looked at what it's going to take for me to replace one of my regular walks with swimming. And it's like instead of doing a 35-minute walk, I would need to do 14 minutes of swimming. And yeah. At first, you sit down and you think about it, and it's like, 14 minutes, that's not very long. And then you start thinking about, wait a minute, that's 14 minutes swimming at the rate of like 50 feet or more. I forget if it's per minute or per second or what, but it's like thinking about you've got to do continuous laps back and forth for 14 solid minutes. That's tough.
That is tough. I don't think do that. I normally end up doing, I think our pool is, you know, the normal size pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually end up doing about 30 to 40 laps. That gets me right into about a half mile, 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah.
Over the course of, you know, 40 minutes. And I take breaks and everything. And it's just, that for me is the real zen time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have any...
You don't have the fancy headphones, so you can't plug in.
Not yet. Considering I just lost my phone today, I probably should not have any more technology.
Hmm.
But, you know, when I run, I tend to bring, you know, I tend to run to music.
Mm-hmm.
When I
go out and walk, I walk to podcasts, and that's part of
That's
part of my listening time, but it's also part of my inspiration time, because there are things in other people's stories that spark ideas for my own stories. And I'm one of those people that can think on multiple tracks at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can listen with one part of my brain and play with ideas on the other. So I'm usually good unless it gets so interesting that I start focusing too much on the ideas I'm playing with, then I have to stop and jump back and say, what did I miss? But
yeah, I will listen to podcasts if I'm walking,
mm-hmm.
but I don't, when I'm running, I need to have music. And that really keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. And then that works for a lot of people, because having that regular beat will keep people moving. And if you've set up your playlist with the right songs, they will keep you moving faster because they've got better beats.
Yep, and I actually have my playlist set up because I'm doing a lot of intervals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not up to running a full mile without stopping yet.
Right.
So I have my playlist set up so that I get one kind of fast song where I want to run to it, and then I have a slow song where I can walk. And so that keeps me going back and forth. And as I get better at it, before it was, I would have one fast song and then three slow songs because I needed that time to recover. Now I'm down to one fast song, one slow song.
Right.
So my next step is to go to two fast songs and then a slow song.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that just keeps me going. I just have to remember to take my iTouch off of shuffle when I do that, so I don't end up.
So you're not shaking to shuffle with every step?
Yeah.
This has been like our longest podcast to date. So while this has been a really good conversation, we want to wrap it up so it's not too big of a bomb to drop on my listeners' ears all at once. Although, in the original show, we talked a bit about exercising when you've got a handicap or a medical condition, and I know that Julie has done some excellent research for me on that, and I need to study up a bit on that, but I would love to have you back for another show looking at dealing with medical problems and handicaps with exercise, hopefully later this summer.
Yeah, no, definitely. Let me know.
And hopefully I can get Julie to be a part of that and give some of her own story.
That would be awesome. I would love to talk with her on that, because she's definitely an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, following her on the...
The fans of the Shrinking Man Project on Facebook.
Yeah, following her on there and just watching, you know, and getting to meet her at Balticon was just awesome.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that... For folks that weren't at Balticon, Julie, I forget exactly what, she's got a number of medical conditions, but she had deteriorated to the point where she had to use a scooter to get around. Mm-hmm. And since I started the podcast and she started listening to it, that has gotten her behind her own exercise program. Now, I'm not taking credit for it. She's got to have credit for it because she actually went out and did it. But at Balticon, she was talking about the fact that she was getting up out of the chair more, and that she was able to do more without the use of the chair. And that's great. And it would be wonderful if next year she could be back there at Balticon and not need the chair at all. But
that would be awesome.
That would be so incredibly awesome. But just any improvement is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Since you mentioned your healthcare experience in the past, at some point I think I would like to tap your brain for a show on dealing with healthcare, because I know there are lots of of different aspects about trying to get yourself healthy, where your healthcare provider can either help you out a lot or they can be another obstacle in your way.
Mm-hmm. But it's all how you deal with it.
That's another hour-long show in and of itself. And I hope to have Key in as part of that, because She's had to deal with a lot of people who have tried to do things with gastric bypass. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, healthcare providers don't like those kind of surgeries. They make you jump through bizarre hoops in order to qualify for them.
They do, and they make you want... Those are still at the stage where they want to really make sure you need it.
Yeah, there is a certain logic between making sure that someone is mentally ready for what the surgery means, but there are some, you know, I've known people who, rather than deal with their own insurance company, they went to Mexico and found a surgeon.
Yeah.
And
that can be dangerous in and of itself, because then you're starting to look at what kind of facilities they have and what kind of follow-up you have.
So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Val, what have you got that you'd like to pimp?
Well, I currently have two books out with Dragon Moon Press, Not Your Father's Horseman and Dark Moon Seasons. The third book in the series will be Last Rites, and that should be coming out next year.
Yay.
So got Rum and Runestones, which is an anthology I edited, Pirates and Magic. And the second one of that, which will be Spells and Swashbucklers, will be out later this year.
Oh, excellent.
I am doing a series with Flying Island Press, Pirates Cove, Flying Island Press, called Tales of the Scorn Lady. The first episode is out, and we should be getting the second episode done soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it at the moment.
And where can folks find you on the internet if they want to follow all the amazing things that you do?
I'm at vg-ford.com, and I'm on Twitter as vg_ford.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on Facebook as well.
Okay. You mentioned Flying Island Press, and as we're recording this, this is June the 9th, and on June the 10th, theoretically, they will be dropping the first episode of Treasure Island, which is narrated by me. So I definitely encourage folks to head out to flyinglandpress.com/cove. And look for Treasure Island, and if it's not there, then like send Jeff Height some complaints.
Nasty
saying,
emails.
There's this excellent work, and it's not out yet. But that hopefully the first chapter will be dropping tomorrow, and so by the time folks hear this, it should have been out, and hopefully the second chapter will be out as well. And hopefully I will have my voice back in proper shape to start recording chapters 4 and beyond, because I've done up to chapter 3, so I need to get going. But that's it for this episode of The Shrinking Man Project. I'm going to split off my weekly check-in into a separate episode, and I hope folks have enjoyed this extra, extra long episode, and I don't get too much hate mail for the length of it. But
do we talk a lot?
But we say good stuff. I don't know how much we're actually going to be able to edit this down. But I hope everyone has enjoyed listening to the show. Above all, have yourselves a good week. Keep losing that weight. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye. All right, that is the end of Exercise and Creativity. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you've got any thoughts or comments, then, as always, you can do that by leaving comments on the blog at theshrinkingmanproject.com, or you can email me at doc@theshrinkingmanproject.com. You can leave a voicemail at 240-745-5022. Or head on over to Facebook and join the gang at the Fans of the Shrinking Man Project. Or you can feel free to follow me on Twitter at Scalesly. That's Scalesla. If you have a podcast, please send me your promos. And I'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on iTunes or Podcast Alley and help people find the blog. Please tell your friends about the podcast. And if you like, feel free to leave something in the tip jar. above it all, have a good week. Keep losing that weight. I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
This podcast is copyright 2011 by The Shrinking Man Project. All rights reserved. The Shrinking Man Project is distributed and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 United States license. That means that you're welcome to pass it around, but you can't claim that it's yours, you can't charge money for it, and you can't make changes to the podcast. The Shrinking Man Project is a Swimming Cat Studios production. For more information and show notes, go to theshrinkingmanproject.com.